I've chosen this evening a verse of scripture from the teachings of Jesus Christ in the 5th chapter of John and the 24th verse. Really one of the plain, simple statements of Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I would like for us to think rather fully upon this particular verse this evening. Number one, it says here, he that heareth my word, and that is the words of Jesus Christ. And number two, and believes on him that sent Jesus, or God, the promise is everlasting life. So this belief here entails hearing the word of Jesus Christ. It entails the action of believing on God. And those who do this, it says, are not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now there's one similar verse in the book of Alma that I would like to turn to on page 345. There's a lot I could read there, but this particular verse harmonizes with this statement here of Christ on verse 27. Concerning God, again, that he is just in all his works, and that he is merciful unto the children of men. That's something we want to think upon, the justice of God and the mercy of God. And that he has power to save every man that believeth on his name. And believing on God and also on the Son entails action. And it says here, and bringeth forth fruit meet for repentance, worthy of repentance. A couple of Sundays ago here, you heard a few other words that were similar to some I'll bring out tonight. In fact, the next passage I want to use was used at that time. And as I thought upon this, I wanted to enlarge even a bit further upon this thing called belief, upon this thing called responsibility and action that goes along with saying that I believe in Jesus Christ. Because it does not stop with just the word belief. It entails something after you say you believe. And really, the statement is true that one has eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. But when we think upon this, it may entail who is doing the analyzing of the word belief. To me, the word belief means action, as I believe that Christ intended for it to be. And this oft-quoted verse that we so often hear from the 3rd chapter of John and the 16th verse concerning the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is a verse that is probably maybe more quoted than most verses in Scripture. It is quoted by many different Christian believers in Christ. And yet, in all this, I believe that it entails much more than maybe meets the eye. And the next verse tells us, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The purpose of Christ coming here into this world was that man might be saved. It wasn't for a thing of condemnation, but it was for a thing of salvation. But yet again, it used the word might. It didn't say that man had to be anything. So this indicates to me that there must needs be something beyond a simple statement of believing on Jesus Christ and thinking that just because I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he atoned for the sins of mankind, and say that that is all would not be an accurate statement. It would not be in harmony with what Christ taught within the scriptures, or neither would it be in harmony with the prophets of old or other of the ministry who wrote. I would like to turn to the 12th chapter of John. And in this 14th chapter of John, the 12th verse, again, the words of Christ. Now, these aren't new words to anybody, but I believe it's well sometimes for us to dwell upon them, to think upon them, and ponder upon them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, that's a plain statement and plain to any of our understanding. The works that I do shall he do also. So that indicates full, total belief in Christ. The works that he does, you can do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if we'd stop there without the following qualifying verse, it might leave a false impression. And the following verse says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So he starts out by the thing called belief. And then he ends up saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, do the things that I've told you to do. Now, you know, when Nephi taught in days of old, and you can find this in the first part of the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi, if you'd like to read it sometime, in the first five verses. But Nephi delighted in speaking unto men in plainness. And he taught men in plainness. And he indicated that God understood this way. In plain, and that and it also said there that God speaketh unto men in plainness, and he also speaks unto them according to their understanding. I may not have ever worded exactly like it's worded there. I could look it up if anybody wants, but he does speak unto men according to their language and their understanding. That's the two key words that I wanted to bring out, and he does this, and here, this is according to our understanding. Believe. And he says, you can do these things. If you love me, do what I say, or keep my commandments. And so to me, this is plain. Now if we turn to the 8th chapter of the book of John, and it seems like a lot of these nice teachings on this particular thing are in John, but there is a lot of other places that you could find it as well. And this is in verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So now here were some Jews that believed on Jesus Christ. Here were Jews that believed that he was the Son of God. And I certainly understood his mission here upon this earth. But he said this to them. And this is a verse. It is for you and I. It is for all people who ever have been. If ye continue in my word, first he says to those Jews that believed in him, then he says, if you continue in my word, so this indicates that we must have responsibility with it. We must have action. And we must become responsible people and continue in his word. Then, you notice that, then are ye my disciples indeed. So if you really want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's because you've committed your life sufficiently that you're continuing in the words of Jesus Christ. And you shall know the truth. Now I want you to notice here. There's plain statements made, and then there is promises. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. So you must continue in the words of Christ if you really have this hope of being able to become free from sin. Just because a person makes the commitment just because he's entered the waters of baptism doesn't mean that all is done. Other scriptures I'll bring out tonight will further build upon that, so I will not go into it at this time. It entails action throughout our life. Jesus Christ also said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So he came here that man's life might be blessed in the hereafter and today. He came here for that purpose. But he also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I would like to turn to the first chapter of the book of James. And this 12th verse I'd like to read, and then I'd like to skip down to verse 21 and read about 4 or 5 verses. This shows that even though a man might have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, might say, I believe that you're the Son of God, might say that I believe you've atoned for the sins of mankind, yet it indicates that there's things that can still happen. And so James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Because you enter the waters of baptism and have came forth out of those waters, doesn't mean you no longer will be tempted. This is a thing of endurance. Sometimes we wonder in our life why certain things are. We wonder why certain things take place. There are certain burdens and trials of life we each must endure. There is another passage of scripture in Christ's teachings, and I believe that could be found in Matthew probably and some of the other gospels, that we are to take up our cross daily. It didn't say the way would always be easy, but there is promise of strength for the way. Many of the hymns we sing even indicated that promise of strength for the way. There are scriptures that indicate that we should admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and such like. So it says here in the teachings of James, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, and we all will be tried, we're not going to be free from it, he shall receive the crown of life, note that, which the Lord hath promised to them that what? Love him. So he said, if you love me, you're to do what he says to do. So you see how well these wonderful truths really tie together. Skipping on down in this same one to the 21st verse, further advice and wise advice. Now this particular statement, even though it involves people in general, he said to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greet. These words he said. But how aptly they apply today. And there's 12 tribes scattered abroad today. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. All, it says. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That is the word of Jesus Christ. That is the word that God gave him to be written and to teach unto the children of men of a way of life that could lead them to eternity and a place of happiness. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we must be doers of this beautiful words of Christ. This entails action, not alone saying, yes, I believe that you're the Christ, but it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, because if you become a hearer only, you're only deceiving your own self. Nobody else, You're hurting your own self, that's all. You're only deceiving yourself. You might lead others astray. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And really, can you imagine such a state as that? I think that everyone kind of knows how he looks when he looks in the mirror sometime today, and I think we probably have all looked in the mirror sometime today. It's kind of a human inclination of mankind, whether we shave or fix our hair or some other necessities, we use this mirror. And so it is. With this, if this is the way the words of God worked in our life, if they didn't amount to anything, it's just like if we saw our face in the mirror and went away and we even forget what we look like. Then we all know what we look like, even though I can't see myself. I've got a pretty good idea what I look like, and you each can see. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, I didn't say to start and say that this is all I got to do. It says, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing. So we really want these blessings in our deeds. Here is the way, clearly outlined for each one of us. It should be plain to the understanding of anyone here. And really right now, I don't know how to make it any plainer than this. It seems like it's pretty plain. Here's a scripture that was used a couple of Sundays ago in the second chapter. I'm just going to use a part that was used from 17 through 20. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And throughout Scripture, the greatness of faith has been stressed. We have men who accomplished great and marvelous things. We have men who moved out of faith. I remember one, for instance, Abraham, who old in life left the land of his livelihood and went to a new place. He moved out in faith. He believed God. Other writers in the scripture believed God. Place after place it tells of the greatness of faith. Even Paul said, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And yet it says here, even so faith, and it is a great thing to have, it is a vital part of the makeup of each one. If it hath not works, it says it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my way faith by my works. So really, we can see here again in the plainness of the teachings of the scriptures that this thing called faith is important, but likewise this thing called action, which is works, is also vitally important. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So even the devils are well aware that there is one God. They know what the power of God is. They know it. Because one time, the devil, a third of the host of heaven was there with Christ, God. Because of the desires of their heart, their ungodly desires, they fell from that place. The devil become miserable and desires the misery of all mankind. And so really, when we're having problems with life, when we start blaming one another, let's unite our forces and start blaming that old boy. It's causing all the trouble. that evil one, the devil. And you know, we unite our forces against him, maybe some of the other things that cause division and strife that arise from time to time among people could be overcome. And wouldn't even need really to be. Yes, the devils even believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now that's a rather complete, full statement, that faith without works is dead. Now to further build upon that, I would like to turn to John, the 5th chapter, and the 36th verse. Again, the teachings of Jesus. But I have greater witness than that of John. Now above here we find a statement that was said, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. John the Baptist came as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He bore witness unto this truth. But yet, Jesus said, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish. And notice that. The works that the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do. So Christ, or God gave Christ certain responsibility here. He gave Christ certain works to finish. And he says, the same works that I do. Now every one of you has been given a responsibility upon the face and breadth of this earth. No matter who you are or where you are, we each have our purpose in being here. We don't all have the same talents or the capacity to serve, but we each have a reason for being here, and we each have a duty to do our part to add to the whole picture. That one day it might indeed be a beautiful picture growing up into everlasting life. Then he says, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And so even these works that he did bore witness that the Father sent Jesus Christ. Why? That he might atone for the sins of mankind, that he might be redeemed from the fall, that this opportunity to live with God in Christ could be presented unto man, that it might be a reality. I'd like to turn to the 6th chapter of the book of Luke. And this is found in verses 46 through 49. Jesus again, and it seems like tonight I've chosen many of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so really, believing on Christ or on Jesus entails action on the part of us all. And Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so this means whoever you are or wherever you are, you might say Lord, Lord. You might say, yes, I believe in Christ. But he says, why do ye this and do not the things that I say? So again, this shows that we must have action with it. That's why he said, keep my commandments. Whosoever cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, not only coming, hearing, but it says doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. And so now he's going to draw an example of the person who comes to Jesus Christ and hears him and does his thing. He's going to show what he's like. He said he is like a man which built a house, and he digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Here is a man. He's bringing it down into the place where each one of us can completely understand. We want to build a house, and we want to build it right. and we had a bunch of sand and a bunch of other stuff here. So this fellow digged down till he hit solid rock. And when he built from that place up. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So it is with everyone that comes to Jesus, to those that hear his sayings, and those that do what he asks them to do. It's the same way. Instead of being a house now, we're built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock. Even though there were placed 12 apostles in that church, yet Jesus Christ is still the cornerstone of it all. He is the bridegroom, and the bride is the church with its different component parts. Sometimes we have it worded, the body of Christ, the church, but it all must be founded upon Jesus Christ. And it is important, especially in the day that you and I live in, that we become founded upon that solid rock of Christ, that we become founded firmly and solidly. But there will be those that choose other course. There may be even some of us that may choose other course. I hope not. But here, let us read. But he that heareth and doeth not, now you each have got that choice. You don't have to do one thing any more than the old horse that could set you taking to water, but he don't have to drink. You could shove his head in there, but it don't mean he's going to sit. If he wants to, he will. And so it is here. But he that heareth and doeth not, even though we heard the word and did not do it, is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So he just built it on a sandy foundation, and when the floods come, it washed away. And so it is with our life. If we aren't built firmly upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, upon his commandments, if we haven't committed ourselves to following them, then when the trials of life come, that temptation that James promised would be a part of our life. Yes, that temptation will be there, ever trying to chip at each one of you, whether you're old, or whether you're a little child, or whether you're in between, or a young married couple, no matter what it is, he is ever trying to chip at your weakness. He knows what you are. You know, God knows what you are too. But also, don't underestimate the devil. He knows your weakness, and he works on it. And a lot of times, we give in to these very weaknesses we have. We may say things we should not say. We may do things we should not have done. We may yield to some temptation that is not the best to yield to. We may say words that we should not have said. Maybe even contrary to the very nature of what we really want to be. Like Paul says, sometimes I find myself doing things that I don't even want to do, but yet I'm doing them. And we're a little different than Paul. So there it is, again, plain and simple. And I hope tonight maybe that I'm getting a few things across that might touch each life in here to a greater commitment to Jesus Christ and God. As I believe tonight that each one in this room really believes there is a Christ. I believe the littlest children have been taught that there's a Jesus. So I really am not as much concerned about that, but I'm concerned about what we're doing with our belief. How fully it's really blossoming in our individual lives. That's what I'm concerned about tonight. I'd like to turn to Romans, the 2nd chapter and the 13th verse. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And so as Paul taught the Romans, it's not just the hearers of the law, but it's the doers of the law that count. And so impress that in your memory bank and don't forget it. When you go forth tomorrow, think again upon some of these few simple truths tonight, that they might guide you through tomorrow, whatever you might choose to do. Tomorrow, for the more part, will be a holiday for many people. But yet, remember, we still got responsibilities to God. Remember, when we go to work, we got responsibilities to God. We got responsibility as we would choose pleasurable things. We got responsibility every moment of our life. Matthew 13, 23. This is a part of the parable of the sower, and I've only chosen one verse because it's a big, complete statement within itself. But I want to choose the verse of those that really heard the word tonight. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground, and this is the part I want to be concerned about. The first part of this parable is sower. Some fell by the wayside, some fell among rocks, some fell among thorns. And as a result of these various things, it caused people to become unfruitful. And I won't go into detail for that. I've done it at other times past, and others have. But this is here. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. Number one here. Those that hear the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. So this very plainly indicates that not alone must you believe in Jesus Christ, you must continue in his words, you must understand his words, and you must bear fruit. And we have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and different things on down through the various things that we could name there. I won't go through all of them. But there is the fruit of the Spirit that is vital. And then it says, which beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And that's what I said earlier. Not everyone in this room has the same capacity tonight. And as you grow older, your capacity becomes less because of ability to function as fully as you did when you were young. But even yet, everyone here has a capacity. Don't take your capacity lightly. Don't misuse your talent or your capacity. This is even a possibility, which might seem a strange statement. We must do things in humbleness of attitude. Don't forget that. That's the way of the Scripture. Jesus Christ was meek and lowly of attitude. He intends for us to be meek and lowly in heart. And so we yield whatever our capacity is. So everybody don't have to do the same. There is not a one of us is the same in here, and God don't expect the same from everyone. But he does expect full measure from everyone according to your capacity to serve. And the more you study, strange as it may seem, and it really isn't strange either, in another way, the more that is required of you. You have a greater understanding, and so your capacity does increase. I would like to turn to the book of Alma, and this is on page 425. And I've chosen this apart from verses 169 through 173. And this is just a part of a comparing the word unto a seed which sprouts and begins to grow. And I've chosen this part. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word. It's comparing the word unto a seed that could grow in the soil. If you will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, you can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. Now, does not that require responsibility? You must nourish the word. But if you will not nourish it, you can never pluck for the fruit of the tree of life. Now, that's kind of a
plain statement, is it not? But if you will nourish the Word, and that's the responsibility of every one of us this night, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, as this Word of God taken into your heart begins to grow, you nourish it, you take care of it, by your faith in God, believing what can happen. And it says, with great diligence you do this, and with patience. That's a vital part of it. We must have patience in our walk of life. It's something we must constantly work for. Looking forward to the fruit thereof. We don't mean that all of this is going to be a reality right now. Any more than when Abraham was promised that great and marvelous thing and was not able to partake of it all. It was for a future day. Looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life, if we will but do this. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the Word, and so we must become a diligent people. Do we really know what diligence is? We must become persistent. Another word in there. We must continually try to do it. We must continually try to serve God more fully and more completely. We can literally bind the power of the devil. We have the way to do it. But it takes diligence. In nourishing it that it may take root. Skipped one here, I guess. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the Word, in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof. And there is the promise, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. That's none other than being able to partake of the tree of life, which is a representation of the love of God. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Christ said, blessed are all those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. So these things do tie together. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering. So these must become character traits of each one of us. We must work upon it. And if they aren't there, let's work upon it. Waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. I'd like to turn to one other passage of Scripture. For a moment might seem unrelated, and yet it is related. It also kind of befits the day that we set aside to commemorate the independence of this nation. It ties with it. From the book of Ezra on page 717, and I would like to probably take verses 29 to about 35. And it ties with belief, it ties with responsibility of what is expected of each and every person who lives upon the face of this nation. And I hope that there isn't one of us tonight that go away from here taking this lightly, what was written many years ago for your benefit and for mine. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth into the land of promise, and that is the Jaredites, which was choice above all other lands. You and I happen to be fortunate, for some reason, to be on a part of that land, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. That land. And he took them across the great depth, or deep, whatever you want to call it, and brought them to this nation. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whoso, and this is the thing I want us to notice, in our belief in Jesus Christ, we got a responsibility. In our belief of living on this nation, we got another responsibility. And he has sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whoso should possess this land of promise, and we're on a part of that land of promise, from that time henceforth and forever should serve him. Now is that plain or is it not? The true and only God, or there's some people happen, they don't. Or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land. And this is an everlasting decree. It can't be changed even. That it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it, and that includes the United States of America as a part of it, shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. And so really belief entails action. Lay apart all superfluity of naughtiness and receive his meekness in practice, his grafted word, which is able to save your soul. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he doth possess it, shall serve God, or he shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decree of God. Now that to me is plain. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of men that they're swept off. And so God allows things to get pretty bad, even to the fullness of iniquity. The two past great nations are swept off. The Jaredites completely, and then the Nephites that left the Lamanites, and some Nephites that joined with them or lost their identity. And this cometh unto you. Why all this? Why am I reading this tonight? Now this is it. This cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that's us today on this United States, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring the fullness of the wrath of God upon you as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. Now that happened. Hitherto it was done. Behold, this is a choice land. Let us not forget it. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage. How really? In the years since the Declaration of Independence, we haven't been in bondage. That's a long record. And from captivity, we haven't known what many nations have known. Know what we might yet have ahead. There was even some former people who lived here, parts who lived in captivity, some Nephites to the Lamanites and such like. They were in bondage. But you and I haven't known this. I hope we haven't taken it lightly. And from all other nations under heaven, and be kept from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. And so all it entails is serving the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, committing our lives to him, making our lives become a thing of action. That's all it requires. It might seem a way, a difficult task. In another way, it is that difficult task. Christ has promised if we come to him that even the burden could be light.
Which one do you put?